Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Princess Charlotte turned 7, and we've got the brand new picks, including their dog. For a long time, it was, who does she look like? Yeah. We're going back and forth. And then this year, we all said, nope, very much William's daughter. Meghan Markle canceled at Netflix as Kate Middleton's lookalike campaigns to be on The Crown.
This seemed like a real passion project for Meghan. So you know that she's just devastated. I imagine it was really heartbreaking.
And royal expert Richard Fitzwilliams gives us his take on Tina Brown's bombshell book.
Does the royal family pay attention? Depends. Firstly, it depends on the reception. It depends on the serialization. It depends on whether or not people generally believe it.
We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina, that's Christine, and welcome to another big week of royal news. Christine, I'm happy to have you back.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're settled now. I'm so excited to be here. The stories this week are really fun and interesting. I'm really excited to get into it.
Yes, we have a lot to get into, but before we do that, as always, let's see what you guys had to say about last week's show. Kicking it off with Kate says Harry and Meghan shouldn't go to the Queen's Jubilee as it will take the attention away from the Queen, and no one in the family needs to be upset by them again. Seems like a lot of people have differing opinions on this, whether they should go, whether they shouldn't, since a lot of the attention will be on them if they do decide to show up.
I think this is lose-lose. I think she makes a really good point that really, if they don't go, the attention absolutely will be on them. But if they do go, the attention will be on them. So it's just lose-lose here. Either way, this whole story is just taking away from the Queen's celebration.
It really is. Wendy says Harry's comment was ridiculous. She is one of the most protected people in the world. He has been so disrespectful. Of course, talking about Harry's comment on the Today Show, saying that he checked in on the Queen to make sure she was surrounded and protected by the right people. It was a very strange comment, and a lot of people could probably read into it a little bit more. I was hoping Hoda would have been like, what do you mean by that? He probably wouldn't have answered, but I would love to know what he really meant by that statement.
I know. I feel like we're going to analyze this until we get another sound bite out of him.
Exactly. And then finally, Angel says that was a lost opportunity. Oh, that was a lost opportunity for Hoda Kotb to follow through with Harry's comments. We were thinking the same thing. She should have asked, who do you think are the right people, Harry? Harry likes to throw away common crumbs like these for the press to ruminate on. I think the Queen has been running the monarchy successfully enough all this time without his childish inputs. So members of the press, be more alert to follow through with his comments. But, you know, maybe she was a little thrown off guard by that comment, too, and didn't really know how to kind of follow up with that. But I don't know.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't know what to say.
Right.
Except, you know, in a professional way, I think she still has to be professional. Yes. Yeah. You know, there's no way to be like, what does that even mean?
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. No, I thought she handled it well. All right. Well, let's get to our royal roundup and kick it off with Princess Charlotte celebrating her 7th birthday with a series of new portraits, of course, taken by the Duchess herself, Duchess Kate, not Princess Charlotte. And we finally got the name of their dog, Orla. They got this dog a very long time ago, and we're finally seeing the first pictures, getting the name. But before that, I mean, Princess Charlotte is like a spitting image of Prince William.
It's amazing. She really is. I think that for a long time it was, who does she look like? Yeah. We're going back and forth. And then this year we all said, nope, very much William's daughter.
It's crazy. I mean, in these pictures, I like remember her being like 3 or 4 and now she's like 7 and she's like a little young lady.
I know. I love that these photos were taken this past weekend. I love, you know, what was it, a mom on a deadline? You know, right. You can definitely relate to that. Oh no, I have to take those.
Yeah, definitely. Got to take those pictures. Got to take them. Yeah. And then
the dog. I think that this was so sweet. It reminds me of George's birthday photos several years ago with Lupo. And now we got to meet Orla. Mm-hmm. And Orla is a name that means golden princess, which is really sweet.
Two princesses taking the photos together. I love it. Hopefully she had a lovely little birthday.
I hope so.
All right. Well, this is a big story coming out of Royal News this week. Pearl, the animated series created by Meghan Markle, will not air due to budget cuts at Netflix. She was set to executive produce the series alongside David Furnish, who is Elton John's husband. However, the series has been pulled for Netflix cuts. Like we said, the streamer is reeling after the stock dropped in response to a recent drop in subscribers, which is interesting. And Pearl is one of the several projects in development that they pumped the brakes on. So kind of a big deal. They have this overall big deal with Netflix. They're, you know, producing documentaries, animated series, children's programs. So it wasn't in production yet, but it was definitely in the works.
Yeah, I think that they had already sort of, you know, started motion on the project. Mm. And this seemed like a real passion project for Meghan. Yeah. So, you know, that she's just devastated. I imagine it was really heartbreaking for the, you know, rug to be pulled out from under this project. It was a great concept. It was, you know, Pearl was a young girl of color who, you know, was learning more about strong female role models. And it was all about empowering young girls, especially women of color and young girls of color. And I think it was something that, you know, it was a show that we really needed in that space. But unfortunately, you know, it's amazing that that Meghan's show as part of this larger Netflix package was the one that got the cut.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. There were several other projects. It wasn't just Meghan's, but yeah, right. Definitely interesting that they decided to cut one of their projects. So we'll see maybe down the line. It'll be back in the works, but as of right now, not so much. All right. Well, Prince William celebrated his 11th wedding anniversary by speaking about the floods affecting Australia. He said the sheer magnitude and long-term impacts the floods in Australia have had on those affected is devastating. The speed of the destruction has resulted in thousands left without homes, businesses, and income. Residents and emergency responders are continuing to work together to rebuild shattered neighborhoods and recover from this natural disaster. Yeah, it's hard, you know, when you're across the world, you don't really realize what's going on. But yes, these floods are, you know, taking over Australia, and it's nice said he kind of checked in and made some comments about it.
Yeah, I know that, you know, Australians, especially with the two successful, you know, very successful Australian tours, the Australians seem to really love Prince William. Yeah. So I think it was great that he, you know, spoke out and, you know, sent them a message.
Definitely. All right. Well, this is a fun story because Dominic West casting as Prince Charles in The Crown came as a surprise to him. He told the Daily Mail, "It's quite disconcerting as I didn't look anything like him when I looked in the mirror. I kept telling the producers that they had cast the wrong person, but they explained that this was not a show of imitations, but that was difficult as this is a real person who is hugely famous and recognizable." Yeah, he really doesn't look anything like Prince
Charles. No, nothing at all. I wonder, maybe they'll do something with his ears. Is that maybe terrible to say?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's very interesting because like everybody else who has played the characters or you know, the real life people have sort of a resemblance.
Right.
But Dominic West, not so much.
I'm really excited to see, but I also think that as we get closer to the modern era where we can remember these things, it's probably really hard to have an actor portray, you know, that character.
Right. No, totally. Because you know exactly, you know, what they look like in modern time. And yeah, it's definitely interesting. I would love to know who people would have liked to see play Prince Charles. I'm sure Dominic West will do a fantastic job. He's a wonderful actor. But yeah, so very interesting. But there's one person that is campaigning to play Duchess Kate on The Crown. And there's this girl out of Australia who looks exactly like her. And I mean, sign her up right now, give her the role.
I know, I've seen this. She's on TikTok. She's an artist. And she's identical to Kate. It's amazing. There's all these, I've seen all these posts on social media sort of comparing her for this college age, college era Duchess of Cambridge. And yes, I really want to see this happen.
Make it happen.
Netflix stock rise. They cast a TikTok star.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, no, she looks exactly like her. It's kind of uncanny. It's crazy. All right. Well, now it is time to spill the royal tea. And people, like we said, are still talking about the biggest bombshells in Tina Brown's book, The Palace Papers. So we wanted to break it down even further. You know, she says in the book that Meghan and Kate were probably both crying over, you know, this whole bridesmaids dress drama, which I can kind of understand. If one person is crying, I'm sure the other one was probably getting upset as well.
Yeah, I love Tina Brown's comment on this is that, you know, there were probably a lot of meltdowns that day.
Yes.
And I think even leading up to it, all weddings are stressful. Royal weddings under this microscope must be hugely stressful. So yes, I imagine everybody, you know, both parties were probably very upset.
Totally. And she also talks a little bit about why the Fab Four, you know, Harry, Meghan, William and Kate only made one appearance together, right?
Yeah. So it was at this mental health panel where they were all up on stage. It was a really memorable event. And it was sort of part of the Heads Together campaign, which teamed up all, a bunch of causes across the Fab Four, as they were, you know, titled at the time. And I guess Kate had really spearheaded that project that was really kind of her brainchild from her experiences and her work, and especially her very personal experiences with her brother, James, who struggled with clinical depression. Meghan gave some remarks and sort of shifted the narrative and I don't want to say stole in a very aggressive sense, but stole the soundbite where the title, the headlines were now about what Meghan speaking out about women's empowerment, whereas the headlines really needed to be about Kate's mental health project.
Right.
Yeah. It was an interesting introduction into the power struggle and the really complicated dynamic between the four of them. And then we never saw the four of them together again.
Yeah. I think we said, a couple of weeks ago that somebody else said that this was kind of like the start of the downfall between the four of them.
That's right. They pointed out when you go back and watch these clips, it's really weird. And at the time we didn't think anything of it, but when you go back and watch the clips from this event, it is, it's noticeable.
Yeah. There is a lot of tension there. And, you know, she also, there's been a lot of books that said, and a lot of reporting that said that William wanted Harry to wait a little bit longer before proposing. She says that again in the book that she wanted that William wanted Meghan to live in the UK for a little while longer to get kind of used to things before Harry proposed. But of course that happened really quickly. But what I found really interesting was that this Prince Andrew, of course, that disastrous BBC interview that Prince Andrew gave around Jeffrey Epstein was actually approved by the Queen under false pretenses.
Right. So I guess the staff told the Queen or, you know, whoever the powers that be that approved this, that this was part of his pitch at the Palace Initiative, which was sort of a networking project for entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And it was very much not about that.
Not at all.
The program was approved under these false pretenses. I can't imagine the conversation the next day between the Prince Andrew and the Queen. And I really, again, begs the question of their continued relationship. She really must have a soft spot for him because... Oh.
That was a disaster. All right. Well, she also revealed, this is interesting, that Prince Charles has a very particular, it's very particular when it comes to his travel. She wrote that Prince Charles's former aide, Michael Fawcett, would oversee the paraphernalia that preceded his boss, like the baggage train of Tudor traveling court, including the prince's orthopedic bed, lavatory seat, and Kleenex velvet lavatory paper, plus two landscapes of the Scottish landscapes. Interesting. So interesting that he has velvet toilet paper.
I mean, I'm going to have to look this up. It's now got the royal stamp of approval.
Seriously.
I mean, we all have weird things that we have to travel with. That seems like a lot, but when you're the Prince of Wales, I suppose you can take a lot of liberties.
Exactly. Oh my God. So many bombshells in this book. And we decided to break it down even further with the help of royal expert Richard Fitzwilliam. Take a look at this. Does the royal family ever even pay attention to these salacious books and these rumors that kind of come flying around? Because there was a lot of bombshells in that book that I'm sure people are going to read into.
Well, I mean, Tina Brown wants an audience, and she writes in a particular way, which, I mean, her book on Diana Chronicles is regarded as the top work of its type. I'm halfway through the Palace Papers. I've just bought it. And I have to say, the way she deals with Princess Diana's manipulation of the media chills the blood. She's very effective when she's campaigning. And does the royal family pay attention? Depends. Firstly, it depends on the reception. It depends on the serialization. It depends on whether or not people generally believe it. I mean, they don't like to acknowledge. But on the other hand, something like Oprah had to be acknowledged. So the Queen was able to say some recollections may vary. Indeed, they did.
Can you tell us your thoughts on whether we'll see Prince Harry or his wife at the Jubilee events?
Well, I can only tell you what the current situation is. It is slightly weird because, as you know, for purposes of security, Harry feels his bodyguards don't get the up-to-date information that Scotland Yard's police have, and he believes that there might be, there were neo-Nazi threats against him, this sort of thing had occurred. It was one of his car was chased when he came over last year for unveiling the monument to Princess Diana, and so far as he's concerned, apparently the security that he would be offered, and remember, his security was removed, where the taxpayer funded part of it. So far as this is being handled, it's rather odd because he's got a court case against the government, the only royal ever to bring one, on this particular issue. Now, so far as the way it has playing out, it was thought that, considering, as you know, Harry and Meghan recently literally popped in, you could say, to visit the Queen or to the Invictus Games in the Netherlands, had they not done so, not having attended the service of Thanksgiving for Prince Philip, it would indeed have been a snub. However, the fact the special escort service provided security for that, there were reports that would do for the Jubilee. And remember, of course, the Queen hasn't met baby Lily. Archie, it's been a long time since the Queen saw him. And of course, Meghan hasn't been back. There are all sorts of issues. There are a lot of people who will be highly critical if and when they come back. And indeed, they have, I mean, Harry's, as you know, he's going to have a memoir published later this year. Now, that could always be delayed. For commercial considerations, it seems an extraordinary decision, especially the timing. And I say this most particularly because if the book isn't sensational, it won't sell and it won't be serialized. If it's delayed, that's one thing. But if it isn't delayed and it helps the Sussexes financially, and they need it with the Netflix problem at the moment, the facts simply are that it will again be a source of very, very substantial discord. And whatever he says, I mean, these reports, and Tina Prabrow with the Palace Papers has fueled these reports, but she doesn't know what's in the book. She, on the other hand, she writes in a very, very racy style. There's no question that reports and rumours have it that Harry might be less than complimentary about Queen Camilla and aspects of a very controversial past. There's no doubt about it. It was. Facts are, however, that whatever he writes, if it's published this year, is going to cause problems, in my view, of one sort. But in the long and the short of it, you asked a short question, will they attend? I don't know. And in what capacity? That is clear. If they do come, they'll be on the Buckingham Palace balcony after tripping the colour, apparently, at the service of Thanksgiving. It's not thought that they will attend other events, but who knows?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. You know, a lot of Harry's still getting a lot of backlash over the comment that he made about Queen Elizabeth, referring to that he checked in on her because he wanted to make sure that she was surrounded and protected by the right people. What do you think he meant by that? And does the Queen need protection?
Well, the Queen has protection, although we just are discussing it at a period when there has been an extraordinary incident at Windsor, where the Coldstream Guards were, in fact, supposedly absolutely guarding the castle, and someone turned up, quite literally turned up and said that he was a priest and said he was a friend of the chaplain, and they put him up for 16 hours. Apparently he was laughing and drinking and made all sorts of weird comments about his organs and so forth. No one suspected anything wrong. This was in the barracks of the Coldstream Guards in Windsor. Now, I mean, that is just extraordinary. If that's an example of the way the Queen's protected, it's certainly not a very good one. It's thought this person was a fantasist. There have been several fantasists, as you know, who've taken advantage of royal events, royal palaces, and there's a certain self-aggrandizement. But who would have made this up? I mean, it really is very, very weird. Having said that, of course, I think the Queen is well protected. What Harry appears to have meant, now you could make this up to a sort of conspiracy theory if you'd like, in the interview, which I thought was so destructive, he talked about, you know, the implications were that there were forces against them, and by implication, he might be meaning that there were forces that also were against the Queen, or might be, because he always places the Queen above the barbs and the critiques that they've thrown at the royal family. Precisely what he meant, it's an unclear, of course, it's never been explained by Klotz. What did they mean exactly? But they weren't pinned down to answering questions. But the facts of the matter would appear that that interview was probably water off a duck's back for an American audience. The British press, of course, detested some of the phraseology and the thought that he would be helping the Queen, and the fact that he wouldn't answer a question about his relations with his father and his brother. And, you know, they still haven't made up their mind if they're coming over for the Platinum Jubilee. So it really is an extraordinary situation. But to summarize it, I'd say the rift very definitely hasn't been healed. I think that, I'm afraid, is quite clear.
Do you think that their relationship might change once Prince Charles becomes king? Or, I mean, at this point, is there anything that's going to save this relationship?
Well, we just don't know, and we'll just have to wait and see. The point is, though, that it's worth just thinking. From the Sussexes' point of view, if they're going to be made to the philanthropists, I'm presuming that's what they want to be. If you might wish to be a politician, that's another issue. It's not in her interest or in his to have bad family relations. And apart from Princess Eugenie and Doria, Meghan's mother, they are certainly estranged in one way or another from pretty well everybody, as far as I can see. They're certainly not close to them. So far as the royal family is concerned, they want to stop damaging leaks. They want to stop damage. Mm-hmm. And of course, with young people, for example, who are less keen on the monarchy now, I would say. It doesn't necessarily mean they want a republic, but it's just that it has been battered. It's been a difficult period, as you know, for it. So it's in everyone's interest to solve the rift. But will it be solved? Well, I mean, what about the state of the Sussexes' finances? What about Netflix's disastrous situation with the shares plummeting, with them cutting budgets, announcing they're going to have advertising, all of this, and the fact they're going to scrap Meghan's new series, car animated series called Pearl. Pearl was inspired by famous women, or well-known women, apparently, and that is for the chop. So, Harry's Invictus series is, of course, coming out relatively soon, it's reported, but equally, they haven't done anything else for $100 million, reported a New York Times contract, and, I mean, Spotify, they've only produced one pretty mediocre podcast. So there were reports they joined the Harry Walker speaking agency. The Obamas and Clintons are part of it. Now, the pandemic would have held that up, but what's happening to that? We haven't heard. So question marks so far as their future's concerned. They need to make more announcements and do more.
All right. Well, now it is time to check in our pint-sized palace. And Prince Harry shared how he's introducing his kids to adaptive sports and talking to his kids about disabilities. He said, "I showed Archie a video of wheelchair basketball and rugby from the Invictus Games in Sydney, and he absolutely loved it." He added, "I showed him how some players were missing legs and explained that some had invisible injuries too. Not because he asked, but because I wanted to tell him. Kids understand so much, and to see it through his eyes was amazing because it was so unfiltered and honest." I love this.
I love this so much. I think it's really important, especially if you didn't grow up in a household that openly discussed things like differences and disabilities, to talk about it with your children proactively. And I love that Harry, not only that he did this, but that he spoke about it on a public platform, because other parents might now have this conversation as well, just sort of normalizing these differences and, you know, not making it something shameful.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely an important conversation to have. Well, Christine, thank you so much for running down all things Royals with me, as always.
This was a fun week.
It definitely was. All right. Well, everybody, keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we will see you guys next week for what is sure to be another big week of royal news. See you next time.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.